The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, The Risk of the Rump. Brazilian butt lifts present serious complications, yet they're more popular than ever. We get to the bottom, pun intended, of a dangerous trend. An obsession that's showing no signs of fading. Black women's assets are permanently pinned to mood boards everywhere. Released in the spring of 1992, Sir Mix-a-Lot's high-octane anthem for big booties, Baby Got Back, was a moment for thick black girls. The song's intro also revealed a not-so-secret truth about how many white women felt about those curves. Oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. It is so big, says a valley-accented voice in the song's first 20 seconds. The speaker goes on to gawk at an unknown black woman, finally wrapping up by saying what the actual issue is. She's just so black. In the 30 years since the song's release, black women's bodies have continued to be a source of scrutiny and inspiration in a highly problematic and since deleted digital article. We are officially in the era of the big booty by Patricia Garcia about big butts being a quote-unquote thing. The Vogue writer praised Jennifer Lopez's backside and pointed out that in years past, derrières were considered a hindrance. A large butt was not something one aspired to, rather something one tried to tame in countless exercise classes, the writer stated. Butts were to be hidden as if curviness was a choice because it wasn't hip to the Beckys of the world yet. Now, all it takes are a few scrolls on your Instagram feed to see a doctored, non-black, voluptuous rump. Posterior cosmetic surgery, known as Brazilian butt lifts or BBLs, are not solely a white phenomenon. Although the majority of butt lift patients many plastic surgeons see are white. Brazilian butt lifts evolved from a derriere lift surgery pioneered in the mid-1960s. In recent decades, the procedure has only risen in popularity. Black celebrities, including K. Michelle and Cardi B, have candidly discussed getting butt injections, though K. Michelle has since stopped the practice for health reasons. While there are other stars who have obviously had work done on their bums, those who openly admit it are few. The impact is the same, though. Every day, people are piecing together the clues and scurrying to the doctor's tables themselves. The fantasy lies within the mystery. And even though our conversations about the surgery are as commonplace as once about breakfast, illusions remain. One of my colleagues says he invented the term Brazilian butt lift. Michael K. Obing, MD, a Beverly Hills-based board-certified plastic surgeon, says of his friend Anthony Griffin. However, the phrase Brazilian butt lift is actually a misnomer, as the sometimes fatal procedure does not actually lift the butt. Fat is transferred to the buttocks, explains Terry Dubrow, MD, renowned plastic surgeon and co-host of the popular e-television reality series Botched. You do liposuction on one part of the body, you take the fat cells out of it, and you clean it. Then you inject it directly into the buttock tissue, says Dubrow. As in demand as the procedure is, it is currently the fastest growing cosmetic surgery in the world, according to The Guardian. It's also incredibly dangerous. It was once common for the fat to be injected into the muscle itself, but after surgeons realized that there was a heightened chance of the fat getting into the veins and traveling to the heart and lungs, that practice was mostly abandoned. Yet fatalities remain high. A study assessing cosmetic surgery safety. The evolving data, published in May of 2020 in the Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery Global Open that assessed the safety of cosmetic surgeries, found that 1 in 15,000 to 20,000 Brazilian butt lift procedures end in death. Dubrow says he no longer does the surgery at all and instead focuses on cosmetic reconstruction. He mentions a task force, the Inter-Society Gluteal Fat Grafting Task Force, which fought to have BBLs banned altogether, but the effort was unsuccessful. Recovery from a BBL is wildly uncomfortable, says Leah Richardson, who knows from experience. It's a pain that you have never felt before. It's very bizarre. You can actively feel your body trying to heal because what happened was just so unnatural. Indeed, the most difficult part of the procedure is the aftercare, during which patients aren't allowed to sit for up to 6 weeks, giving the fat cells a chance to survive, which directly correlates to how the results will appear. You have to deal with not being able to sit for weeks, and yet the surgery is only a few hours, says Richardson. Richardson explains that scarring greatly contributes to the agony. There's fluid trapped in your body, she says, noting that the lymphatic massage required to get the fluid out of the holes in the buttocks is gruesome. And Obing lists a slew of post-surgery complications that can arise, including infection, scar tissue, seroma, and accumulation of fluid, asymmetry, necrosis, extreme cell death, blood clots, and fat embolisms, blood vessels blocked by fat. One grim Instagram account, Doll Memorial, at Doll Memorial, posts memorials of those who have died as a result of getting cosmetic surgery, some of which were fat transfers. There are more than 100 posts and images, with some of the procedures having taken place outside the U.S. Having surgery abroad is common for those looking to cut costs, as fat transfers can go for upward of $5,000 and does not include aftercare. Some people have opted to undergo surgery abroad. Some people seeking to spend less also ignore the advice of certified plastic surgeons about associated risk, opting for less safe facilities. I had a patient, a flight attendant, who came in for a BBL consultation, shares Obing. She said I was too expensive and decided to go to the Dominican Republic for the procedure, and she died. Obing says he still gets emotional when he recalls this harrowing story. With all of the harm that the procedure can cause, why is the BBL still so sought after? Dubrow chalks it up to the escalating interest in the Kardashian family, though none of the women have admitted to any kind of augmentation on their buttocks. Kim and Khloe Kardashian and sister Kylie Jenner are thought to have undergone surgery. Dubrow suggests that the sisters' prevalence in the media has played a role in the way that other women see themselves. While the family is regularly accused of cultural appropriation, specifically for style choices like cornrows and kinecolon made to resemble black hair, they have also been called out for imitating some black women's natural forms in the unending cycle of inspiration versus appropriation and the rounded rump so many people are literally dying to achieve. It might be time to consider other cosmetic options. These come with varying degrees of invasiveness, but may pose less risk to your life. Some names have been changed to protect privacy in this article. Implants. What is it? Silicone implants are placed in the tissue of the buttocks through surgery. Qualifications for surgery. This works best for thin patients who are, say, 5 feet 9 inches tall and weigh less than 130 pounds. That person will probably do better with implants than a BBL, says Obing. Cost approximately $5,000. Air Sculpt. What is it? Using a technology patented by Aaron Rollins, MD, unwanted fat is removed while the patient is awake without needles, a scalpel or stitches. An entry point into the skin is made. The fat is then numbed, heated, and permanently removed and placed into the buttocks. Most patients are able to return to work the next day. Qualifications for surgery. The procedure can be performed on most people, Rollins says. Cost varies based on how many areas of the body are targeted. Sculptra. What is it? A powdery substance is suspended in water and is then injected into the body as a filler. According to Arash, MD, your body reacts by building collagen bundles around the powder, adding volume. Qualifications for the surgery? This process is suited for those who don't have much body fat to harvest. Cost. One round of Sculptra can start at $5,000 to $8,000. Three rounds is typical. M. Sculpt Neo. What is it? This is the only FDA-approved device for a non-surgical lift. Paddles are placed on each cheek, causing swift, dense muscle contractions. Doing this 4 times a week for 4 weeks results in a 25% increase in gluteal muscle mass. Qualifications for surgery. This works best for those who have muscular buttocks. Cost. The price tag can run $4,000 for 4 treatments. The next article is titled, Holy Moses. While working 3 jobs after high school and hoping for her big break, Moses Ingram relied on faith to get to the promised land. Before being cast in The Queen's Gambit, Ingram says she focused on staying prayerful and doing all I could to make that next step. Upcoming role for the actress, a part in an adaptation of Macbeth. When you receive an Emmy nomination for your first role out of college, people call you an overnight success. But that's not the story of actress Moses Ingram. Before she donned that full afro as Jolene DeWitt in The Queen's Gambit, became an action hero in the Star Wars spinoff Obi-Wan Kenobi, or was cast alongside Denzel Washington in her latest project, Ingram put in some solid hustle years. I was working three jobs, says the Baltimore native, who turns 28 in February. Of her 4 years after high school, I worked overnight on one job, and I was also teaching theater at the Boys and Girls Club, and I would save my money. That grind was necessary after financial challenges prevented her from attending Howard University as she'd hoped. Instead, in 2012, she enrolled in Baltimore Community College and started looking for her big opportunity. On the weekends, I would get a bus into New York, she recalls. I would get there at 4:30 a.m. and walk around until something opened. After going to plays and getting advice from actors when they stepped off stage, Ingram did indeed see a door swing open. She was accepted into the master's drama program at Yale University. This chance signaled a new direction not only for her career but for her identity. Ingram, who no longer goes by her birth-given name, decided to adopt a new moniker. By the time I got to Yale, I had been through so much. I just felt like my name didn't fit anymore, she says. So I prayed. And the next morning, I woke up and God said, Moses. And that's what I went with. Like her namesake, Ingram found that being plucked from the river and elevated to the palace, that is the David School of Drama at Yale University, had its privileges. Once I got into Yale, that's when I got access, she says. I do fully believe that I was talented when I got there, but they gave me resources. It takes money to succeed. They paid my bills so that I could focus on just being an artist. With the freedom to pour herself into her creative pursuits, Ingram landed the role of DeWitt in The Queen's Gambit. In turn, her scene-stealing portrayal of the orphaned teen in the Netflix hit landed her an Emmy nomination. That was really insane, the actress recalls of the honor. Nobody, least of all me, expected that. Her career since then has shown no signs of slowing down, which means that Ingram should expect more accolades to come. Audiences will see her next in The Tragedy of Macbeth, the William Shakespeare classic. In the film, Ingram plays the role of Lady Macduff, whom she describes as regal and driven by love. After debuting at the New York Film Festival this past September, the feature streams on Apple TV Plus beginning January 14th. The production boasts a star-studded cast that includes Washington in the role. It was during rehearsals for Macbeth that Ingram, in a throwback to her hustling days, approached Washington for advice. I said, Mr. Denzel. He was like, what? I said, I've been really professional this whole time. I didn't want to get on your nerves, but I really have some questions. Washington was willing to oblige her curiosity and sat with Ingram for 2 hours, graciously answering every question she had. He was so generous, open, and willing to share and teach. Ingram says, I felt really blessed to be in that energy. Blessings are the central theme of Ingram's career. For someone who always tried to think 10 steps ahead, that's saying something. Now, being in this place I've always dreamed of being, I really want to let myself be in the moment, she says. Everything that I'm experiencing, the Emmy nomination, being taken care of, all of that feels like extra because I really didn't think that far. Ingram is open to continuing to be surprised. She doesn't fantasize about a dream role for herself, but rather prays that what is for her will find her. And now that she's become one of the actors from whom her younger self might have sought counsel, she offers this bit of advice to those who are still out there hustling. As cliche as it sounds, anything really is truly possible, she states, with conviction. This is not me saying I have all the answers, because I don't. I still have to talk myself up to some things, but encouraging yourself is necessary. Write your dream down, hold on to it. The next article is titled, Black Life Reimagined. Through refreshingly authentic storytelling, Black Hollywood is immortalizing our past and present on screen through a lens unlike any we have ever seen. Over the past decade, an influx of Black decision makers and writers, rooms and directors' chairs has meant seeing our stories chronicled in film and TV in ways that refuse to sacrifice hard truths to render Black life more palatable for the masses. In Women of the Movement, airing on ABC this month, for example, the story of Emmett Till is told not to rehash his gruesome murder in a manner that could be perceived as, quote-unquote, trauma porn, but rather to give a voice to his mother and spotlight the role her activism played in the success of the civil rights movement. And last year, Misha Green's Lovecraft Country brought to life the experience of Black travelers in a sundown town in the 1950s, while the devastation of the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre became a crucial plot point in the Regina King-led drama series Watchmen. The fictional and non-fictional story lines in Ava DuVernay's Queen Sugar, When They See Us in Calling in Black and White, connect the dots between the Black history our ancestors lived and the lasting remnants of that era. As we navigate the same economically crippling social construct that is systemic racism today. Similarly, the late John Singleton's drama Snowfall explores the government's documented involvement in the crack cocaine epidemic that ravaged Black communities in Los Angeles in the 1980s and 1990s. Through relatable comedic relief, Issa Rae's Insecure and Donald Glover's Atlanta humanize the non-monolithic everyday lives of young Black millennials of varying social classes. Both series also highlight the evolution of predominantly Black neighborhoods among long-standing social issues such as gentrification and economic instability that continue to shape those communities. Meanwhile, the effects of today's social awakening on young minds are being amplified through timely television series. An episode of Kenya Barris's Grownish saw college seniors stand in unison during their commencement ceremony in protest of the school's financial support of private prisons. And executive producer and showrunner Carol's All-American showed high school athletes taking a knee and forfeiting their final football game to demand justice for a young Black woman killed by the police. In film, movies like Melina's and Lena Waithe's Queen and Slim and writer and co-director Trayvon Free's Two Distant Strangers bring Black social commentary to life through unexpected scenarios. And projects inspired by real-life American icons like One Night in Miami, directed by King, and The Harder They Fall, directed by James Samuel, brilliantly marry historical facts with Hollywood magic to show audiences possibilities beyond what many dare to dream. Without apology, today's Black creators are doing the work to ensure that tomorrow's audiences are privy to yesterday's culture-defining moments. even as they widened the space for historical accounts of Black hardship and triumph, and the forgotten narratives in between to truly live forever. The next article is titled, Celebrate Carnival. In Louisiana, we sing, we dance, we feast, we share. What this really means is we celebrate everything, whether it's the world's biggest omelet, a crawfish race, or a joyous second line at a parade, or even a funeral. You'll always hear voices reflecting joy, but we also celebrate the voices who came before us, those that were brave and bold enough to reset our path. We'll soon feel the pride of the carnival crews as they roll and strut through the state from 12th night until midnight on Mardi Gras Day, March 1 this year. But we also take pride in those pioneers who nudged history toward a better path that brought us to where we are now. Join us in celebrations with the return of Carnival and our new Louisiana Civil Rights Trail. Come sing and dance and feast and share. Start planning your trip for Carnival and beyond. The next article is titled, A Legend in the Making. Throughout her career, Adrienne Warren has played notable Black women on stage and on the silver screen. Mamie Till Mobley, Women of the Movement. Warren stars as educator and activist Mamie Till Mobley, the mother of Emmett Till, in this limited series debuting January 6 on ABC at 8 p.m. Eastern. Tina Turner, the Tina Turner musical. Warren's work in the Broadway production of the musical earned her a Tony Award for Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role in a Musical in 2020. Gertrude Sanders, Florence Mills, Shuffle Along, or The Making of the Musical Sensation of 1921 and All That Followed. Warren garnered her first Tony Award nomination in 2016 for her portrayal of these two characters. The next article is titled, Out and About, Seen on the Scene. Essence Girls United Summit, presented by CBS Original The Equalizer, returned this fall in Atlanta with a brand new format that allowed in-person and online attendance. The exciting experience and premium content tackled some of the issues that keep you up at night and dominate your social media feed, like career, relationships, mental health, social activism, gender identity, and more. Event recaps as follows. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.